Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by
law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Mainstream Mental Health Radio
with Dr. John Huber.
What do you think you are, crazy or something?
Well, you're not.
We're on a mission from God.
News, issues revolving around mental health.
Dr. John Huber, a mental health professional for over 20 years, the chairman for Mainstream Mental Health, a clinical forensic psychologist, and a psychology professor at Texas State University. Breaking the silence of mental health, one day at a time, discussing the human condition, providing a sounding board for mental health issues, and making mental health mainstream.
You got a gift, my friend.
Now it's time for Mainstream Mental Health Radio.
Let the healing begin.
With Dr. John Huber. To Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media. Google Plus, Mainstream Mental Health. Instagram, at Mainstream Mental Health. Twitter, at Mainstream MENTL. And search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Mainstream Mental Health Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. John Huber. Follow us at the Mental Health News Radio Network and watch us at our website at mainstreammentalhealth.org. Well, we haven't done this in a while. We haven't talked about what's going on in the news, but several of my friends today and now my producer has brought to me a story about the American Psychological Association, and they've come out and released guidelines that teach psychologists working with men and boys that traditional masculinity in psychology is harmful. Well, I've read the research. I think the research is faulty. They don't take into account for lots of things. For example, the causal relationship for some of the problems they equate to being masculine, the causal relationship that has been identified to single parent family homes. And it becomes, you know, like, why did they leave that research out? Because it doesn't fit their dialogue. And this research also is corollary. It's not causal. And I have serious problems with them setting up, you know, guidelines when they don't know if this is truly causal or not. And then they leave out some very, I think, significant data about arrests, conviction rates, crime rates, and things like that, when they start saying that masculinity causes these things, when actually the research that I'm aware of that shows having an absent parent, especially a masculine parent in a family, actually causes an increase in arrest in the children in the home. It causes an increase in teenage pregnancies in the children in the home when you don't have that masculine, strong masculine figure in the family. So now at the same time, research says, for example, two women, lesbian couples, can create the same balance, and two gay men can create the same balance with their children. They give that almost a good cop, bad cop kind of feel, where you have a very nurturing parent and then one who is much more the rule keeper. And that research there is supporting that and disagrees with this statement and this announcement that the APA has out there. I think it's interesting research talking about how men are 3.5 times more likely than women to die by suicide. Well, look at the demands that we put on males in this society. Look at the demands we put on females in this society, too. We know a lot of things. For example, more and more women are committing suicide than ever before. We also see a significant increase in millennials and young adults who have not been bound by more conservative rules and taught more conservative beliefs, that right now are the highest suicide attempt rates of any other previous generation at 20%. That is, you know, much more easily accountable for a lack of structure in an individual's life than having less structure in an individual's life. Regardless, I think there's some good things to get out of this research. We need to start looking at issues of biology, not just of psychology, because we can't treat just one part of a human. We got to treat the whole human. And I think by leaving out some of the information that we are doing, trying to stay away from actually identifying somebody's genetic makeup, whether they're male or female, I think we're doing a disservice. You may identify anything you want to identify as, but when it comes down to how your body's going to function, it is driven by a biological code, our DNA, and we need to respect that regardless of whether that makes us feel happy or not. That's not what necessarily we're always there for. So, I'm glad they brought it to our attention, but I think in a lot of ways they are sending us down a dark alley and there's no way to know where we're going with this. So I would much rather have them support causal relationship instead of corollary relationship. What that means is the correlation is, there's research out there that shows that if you've eaten carrots in the last week, you're significantly more likely to have a car accident. Did the carrots cause the accidents? No, but enough of us eat carrots that it happens that way. And just because there's a correlation doesn't mean that it's actually significant or even important, let alone causal in a situation. So we need to be careful with that. Unfortunately, most Americans are very ill-informed when it comes to research, when it comes to math in general. I used to tell my students that 5 out of 4 patients can't understand math at all. Well, of course they can't, because you can't have 5 people or make 5 people out of 4 people. So it's bad math, it's bad science, and treating it like a fact, I think, is doing a disservice. I think it's important information to know that they're giving us here, but I don't think it's something that we need to all of a sudden start changing how we raise our children in this country. That's an awful big leap for a corollary study that has not been repeated yet. So that being said, let's move on and maybe move on to something right down that aisle, narcissistic bosses, psychopathic bosses. We all have had them, and we all know we don't like working for them. Why is that? Well, they did a study at the University of Manchester at their business school, and they looked at 1,200 participants, and what they found out was people who work for leaders who display narcissistic and psychopathic traits have lower job dissatisfaction and scored higher on clinical measures for depression. I mean, think about it. Our job is what gives us food. It pays our rent, puts a roof over our head. And if we have to go there and suffer under the realm of a narcissistic psychopath, we're all going to be depressed. And now they have research to support that. This is very important to be aware of. We need to understand that not only did these employees' well-being suffer, but well-being also suffer, but incidents of counterproductive work habits, work behavior, and these employees actually becoming bullies and doing bullying were higher among those when they had narcissistic bosses. So it's not a good environment at all, and I think we need to start paying more attention to that. I'm glad this is coming out of a business school, because, again, as psychologists, we start doing things, and a lot of times other arenas in academia tend to minimize it. Oh, that's just those psychologists. Well, fact is, we actually do have some good information sometimes, but it's nice to see it coming from another area of academia. All right. And the last one we're going to talk about today is this question about apps. Can smartphone apps curb teen depression? And we've been discussing online and computerized psychotherapy for a long time. We know right now that apps like Facebook and Instagram and other social media apps have their own internal studies going on right now, and they can talk about the language that people use and how that reflects their mood, whether they're depressed, whether they're suicidal. And they have been watching this for quite some time. I mean, this is a new arena. We have to think about it. Smartphones were invented in 2007, 2019. They're about 12 years old. So it is a growing field, And we're getting more and more experts every day. And the more we study this, the better we're going to be. Well, we know we can go through and use smartphone apps to track our exercise and how fit we are. It can measure heart rate, sometimes oxygen levels in your blood, that type of stuff. So it makes sense that we should be able to come up with an app that's going to help curb teen depression. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of our teenagers are not learning how to communicate very well, and they find it even more difficult to communicate to adults, let alone a therapist. So with the phones and social media limiting these kids' direct access to face-to-face time and learning how to interact that way, it makes sense that we should try and be looking at some kind of artificial intelligence or AI on these apps to help deal with that and help teach our kids coping skills, coping mechanisms, self-affirmation, things like that, change their language so that they're not always beating themselves up unintentionally. And I think that it is a good idea. And basically, the researcher, Dr. Alex Lowe, says that the goal of our work aims to turn smartphones into fitness trackers for the human brain, not just your muscles, not just your heart. And as an app developer, Dr. Lowe has been or is a professor in psychiatry, bioengineering, and computer science at the University of Illinois here in Chicago, in the USA. She was interviewed by Rolling Stone, and the app she's working on is called BioAffect, or BiAffect, BiAffect. It uses iPhone metadata and proximity sensors. Why was that important? Well, you know, if you can monitor whether you're close to sunlight, if you're outside all the time, that has a big impact on your biology and whether you're depressed or not. So it's actually a good idea. They're also looking at your camera data, your accelerometer. Are you moving? Are you sedentary? The gyroscopes in your phone, compasses, barometers, pressure-sensitive displays, how you touch, and the touch ID information. And this tracks the user's mood and mental health using all these different biological things. It's not just asking you, how do you feel today? They're actually looking at behavior, which is what we do in the real world with other psychologists. So I think this is a step in the right direction. I can't wait to see the actual data and the actual research on this. And I don't know if it's here yet, but we're moving in the right direction. We need to be aware, though, that this, you know, this tool, this social media tool, can be causing depression. It's causal. The CDC identifies it for that. But maybe we can use the same tool that's making us depressed and use it against that depression and turn this whole thing around. So I think it's what we need to be looking at. We're already on our smartphones. We're on tablets. Let's use the data. Let's do this thing right. And I'm glad to see some research going after that. All right. Well, that's our stories for this week. And I'd like to say, hey, if you got something interesting you want to see or you want us to talk about, drop us a line at mainstreammentalhealth@gmail.com. And after you send that email, remember that life is what happens when you're making plans, so buckle up.
Thanks for listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media, Google+, Mainstream Mental Health, Instagram @MainstreamMentalHealth, Twitter @MainstreamMENTL, and search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.